Hey everyone, this is Chili Chilton. So, today's topic, marriage advice. Well, today is my 34th wedding anniversary, and I married the number one woman on the planet Earth. So, I thought as the night wound down, I would share with you something that Ned and I kind of worked on together at our 25th wedding anniversary. Next year, we'll celebrate our 35th, and we'll add 10 to this list. But this is the 25 things that kind of keep our marriage together. And so right now, if you're married or want to be married one day, grab some paper. Go ahead. I'll wait. Yeah, I'm waiting. Listen, tonight I went out to dinner and a really, really nice place called the 1818 Chop House. And I had the most amazing seared sushi-grade tuna. It was thinly sliced and served with this black rice and pea pods and some kind of a spicy type of sauce on it. And it was just so amazing. And then they brought us creme brulee for our anniversary dessert together. And Nana, what'd she get? Well, you know, my girl's a Colorado girl. She got the giant steak salad with just amazing sirloin or New York strip, I think, on top of it. And then French fries added. Those of you from Western Pennsylvania, you know what that's all about. And so we had an amazing dinner and just enjoyed the evening together. And okay. Now that you've got my meal for tonight, did you get a journal? Did you get some paper? All right, so I'm going to rattle through 25 things that will help you have a better marriage. These aren't the end-all, be-all list of all time. In fact, like I said, next year I'll add 10 more things to this list. But these things help us, and maybe they'll help you. Number one, smile every day and do it often. You know, so when you hop out of bed, hit the bathroom, grab that toothbrush, you know, round and round, circle small, gums and all, and maybe gargle a little bit so that you can get your smile on right away in the morning and keep smiling all day long. That's number one. Number two, talk and listen to God before you talk to each other. That's really important. Even if it's a few words, you know, to God, and maybe your time's not morning or whatever, but, you know, open your eyes and begin praising God, you know, and God will begin to use your words right out of the gate. But if you miss God in the morning, sometimes you don't find him all day long. So talk and listen to God before you talk to each other. Number three, buy good toilet paper. That's right. You know, you can go cheap on a lot of things. And right now, you know, we need some finances to come through. And I don't have a job right now. And there's some things going on. We can't skimp on the toilet paper. It's just kind of a priority for our marriage. And by the way, you always roll it over the top. All right? Not from underneath. You know, that's contaminated. You know, you're already trying to deal with what's underneath, so make sure your toilet paper rolls over the top and make it good stuff. Number four, fight for your Sabbath day and make it count. You need a day of rest. You need a day off. You need some time when you say no to other obligations and other things. And you know what? Life gets busy. We have raised five kids, so we've had practices and events and all kinds of things, and so we couldn't say it's always going to be this day, but we fought for Sabbath day. All right, number five, last one out of the bed makes the bed, no questions asked. And you know what, it's kind of funny, I get out of the bed at around 3 o'clock and do my prayer time, but then I come back to bed around 4:30 or so, and then Netta gets up around 6 or so, and that's the, so I almost every single day I make the bed. That's right, it's true. Last one out makes the bed. Number six, say I love you as often as you can. And also compliment each other. Lots of eye contact. You can't oversay it. You can't say I love you enough. And, you know, find something every day if you can to compliment. trust me, I got to work on this often. And, you know, it's not because there's not plenty to compliment, but we get all caught up in our own world. You know, if you need a compliment, give one. That's simple. And make good eye contact. Number 7, don't discuss important things when you're overly emotional. All right? If you're bawling and crying, or if you're angry and cussing, if you're sad and depressed, take a moment. Get some composure. Get yourself together. Because, you know, any emotion can manipulate the other person. The other person just may not want to deal with it. And so, kind of put yourself together. Doesn't mean you have to be stoic. But if you're out of control emotionally, fix that before you begin discussing something really important. Number 8, laugh. A lot. Laugh a lot. Find stuff that you like to laugh at. The other day, Ned and I were so tired, and we've been driving for days, literally. We'd been 3 days in a row where we'd driven for hours and hours. And so we just found a comedian, and we put it on, and we listened to one stand-up comedian after another for hours. And we laughed so hard. And you know, you just got to find it. Sometimes laughter comes easy, but sometimes you just, you know, find something funny and find something you enjoy. Number 9, don't compare or compete with each other. Just revel in your uniqueness. All right, so if this person does it this way all the time and you like to do it a different way, okay. Celebrate the uniqueness. It doesn't have to always be the same exact way. You know, some of you fold your shirts different and you eat like it different, or you like to put certain things on top and other things. Some of you, you know, like your car a certain way. You know, just be okay. Don't be so weird. All right? That helps me at least. So, all right. So, where are we at? Oh, yeah. Number 10. Honor one another. Never tease or embarrass the other person beyond what's kind or in front of other people. You know, we all know our stuff, and you know, and you've been married 34 years, you know all of the buttons you could push. And so, but honor always says, man, I want this person to come away looking better in the eyes of the other person that they're with. And so always honor each other. Never tease or embarrass beyond what's kind. And if your spouse or significant other doesn't get that, tell them what's beyond. All right? Sometimes we're clueless. I admit it myself. Number 11, live translucent, not transparent. That's one of the most important things I'm going to say in this whole podcast. Translucent, not transparent. So what am I saying? Allow others to see inside, but not every detail. See, translucent, you can see through, but you can't see all the details. Transparent shows everything. You don't need to show everything. You don't have to tell every detail. Keep some of the things private that are important in your life or that are about each other. But also let people in, because it's how people learn and grow and gain. You know, this list that I'm giving you, I'm being translucent, not transparent. There'd probably be 50 things or 100 things if I was being transparent. Number 12, live amenable. It's even better than accountable. Accountable means we should hold each other accountable so that we can make sure we do the right thing. Amenable means I just like to tell you everything that's going on in my life so that I can be a better person. It means I'm seeking it out because I like you rather than I'm seeking it out because I don't want to screw up. That's amenable versus accountable. So live amenable. You're married, for crying out loud. Number 13, follow God's dreams rather than expect him to follow ours. Ooh. Sometimes you're like, that's my dream. This is my dream. You know, if you're using personal pronouns when it comes to dreams and callings and visions and family leadership, I'm telling you, you're on the wrong path. Follow God's dreams rather than expect him to follow ours. Number 14, make love, not war. And everyone just went, ew. Number 15, discipline in unity. It means be on the same team. You know, I raised 5 kids, you know, and it's easy to start leaning, to have a teenager get you on their side or the other. But, man, just agree with your spouse that, hey, man, if we go down, we're going down together. We're not going to be divided on something that's important. So discipline and unity, be on the same team. Number 16, be present. What does that mean? It means be alert and responsive, not just around. You know, don't be when important conversation's happening. Really be listening. Eye contact again. Number 17, take time away from everything together. And at times, take time alone, apart from each other. You need those alone times. I have a date with my wife almost every week. And, you know, we tried to do evening, but teenage life sucks up most of our evening. So we found a certain day that was our lunch date, and that's what it is. And we like Thai food, and we like to go on our lunch date, and it's pretty predictable. But it's important, and we get alone, and we enjoy that. But we also know that sometimes she and I need to be apart from each other just to get alone and listen and process differently. That's okay, too. So make sure that you remember that and be okay with it. Number 18, make sure God remains head of the home in the marriage. Okay, this one's first to me. I'm a man. I want to be in charge. I want to fix everything. I want to be in control. I'm in a season right now where God is so stretching me in this area. I want to be the provider. I want to be the fixer. I want to be the guy that comes through. And right now, I just have to say, God, you're all I need. You're everything. And hopefully, my example's leading now. But ultimately, I got to make sure God's the head of my household and head of my marriage. I want Netta to love God more than she loves me, and vice versa. That's so important. Number 19, don't make your spouse your only friend. Do different things with different people. I'm telling you, that's really important. That's something we had to really understand together. And we still do. I was like, Netta, that's a girlfriend conversation. So why don't you spend some time with your girlfriend? This is a guy thing that I'm going to do. It's important that we each have friends outside of our marriage, and that we have other things, hobbies and things we enjoy that the other one doesn't. We find other releases to do that. I've seen couples, man, they just become early on, you know, so addicted to each other, and they start alienating their friends, and their friends start dropping off. And then all of a sudden they realize they're kind of they've come to an end of conversation or interest, and nobody's around. And now their expectations are that, you know, he's going to do all the things that girlfriends used to do, and she's going to do all the things that guy friends used to do. It just doesn't work. So don't make your spouse your only friend. Do different things with different people. Number 20, live above reproach in every area. With the opposite sex, with computers, with your free time, with your interests, with your location. You know, like my wife and my kids all know the passwords to my computer, my phone, everything they have. And they can find me because I make myself trackable on all of their devices, so they know where I am, and they know they can read anything I'm writing or reading. They can see what I'm entertained with, all of those things. Live above reproach in every area. Man, it brings such a peace of mind to your spouse. Number 21, in disagreements or decisions, avoid words always and never. You always blank, blank, blank. You never blank, blank, blank. Yeah, when you're in a disagreement or even in a decision time, avoid making those words, because it just makes somebody get really defensive really quick. And so try to get those things out of the conversation. Number 22, communicate love the way your spouse needs it, not the way you want it. You know, somebody came up with 5 love languages back in the day. I think there's a billion love languages. And it changes in time, and it changes with age, and it changes with hormones, and it changes with expectations, all those kind of things. You got to just keep learning. And if you love someone, you'll want to learn. You'll want to figure that out. But communicate the love the way your spouse needs it, not the way you want it. You know, you can be like, I'm doing this for you. And they're like, well, I wanted you to do this. You know? Number 23, raise your kids as individuals. No two are the same, so enjoy their uniqueness too. I have 5 kids, like I said. Every single one of them is so different and so awesome and so wonderful and so amazing. And I love them all, but not any of them were the same or had the same interests, the same music abilities, the same intellect, the same sports ability, the same, you know, take your pick, ice cream flavor to chewing gum to ideas about the future, where they want to live, what they want to do. It's always been different. And that's awesome. And so go for that. It'll make you more flexible and a lot less annoying. Number 24, seek wisdom from those who have lived it, not just from peers and blogs and books. I am so serious about this one. You know, sometimes you're kind of raising yourself through what you're reading online and what you heard on a TikTok and what your friends tell you you should do, and they tell you how to raise your kids, and they tell you when to have date night, and they tell you all these things. You know what you should do is, like, find a marriage that you go, that's a rock star marriage. Go out with those people. Pick their brains. Spend time with them. Find out their secret sauce. Find out the formula. It won't be the same for you, but there will be things, like even what I'm sharing now. You know, I've been married 34 years, and it's not very often that a young couple goes, can we ask you questions? Can we spend some time? Can we learn from you? Most of the time it's, yeah, we already read this, and I'm doing this, and this is how we're going to make our marriage. Well, that's cool and all, but early on, I think Netta and I made some heroes and people that we wanted to have marriages like, and we watched them and follow them. We didn't do identical because we're different than they were. But man, there's some things we gleaned from it, even from our parents especially, but from other people that we just really admired. That's number 24. You ready for the last one? Number 25. Don't think you're an expert. You're not. When somebody on Facebook goes, I need advice about marriage, don't give it. It's funny, all the years that Netta and I have been married and been in ministry, one of the things we made a commitment to right in our first year of marriage was, like, one of the things we'll never do is marriage conferences and marriage retreats or any of those kind of things. And it's like, because we never want to become experts. We never want to be the people telling everyone else this is how to have a great marriage. You know, we have a great marriage. It's the best marriage. It gets better with age. It gets better through turmoil, through the conflict, through the hardships, through the easy times. It's always gotten better because love grows when love is formed in God's presence. You know, it's, and if love's about God, it's only going to get better. But don't be an expert ever, and avoid writing lists like this for the first 25 years. That's right. I never did a list. I never posted anything till we'd been married 25 years. And here I am, probably doing my first podcast about it at 34 years. And yeah, maybe in a year from now, I'll add another 10 to the list. You know what? I hope this list helps you. Whether you're married, whether you're going to be married, whether you used to be married, go back and listen to it or look at your notes. And again, apply it first to your relationship with Jesus and then go beyond that. All right? I hope this helps you so much. Peace.